We're in the midst of the third chapter of 2 Samuel. Joab has just slain Abner, and he did it under the pretense of getting vengeance because Abner had killed his brother Asahel at the battle in Gibeon. But we have shown in the previous lesson that Joab had no right to slay Abner. The law of vengeance actually didn't apply in this case, and besides, they were at a Levitical city here in Hebron, so Abner would have been safe from that law anyway. And this slaying of Abner put David and his kingdom at a very great disadvantage, because David was just now making an alliance with Abner, and Abner was in the process of reuniting the rest of the kingdom under David. And so this would greatly embarrass David's kingdom at this point. It would throw the rest of the country in more of a turmoil. It would make it look as though David had been very deceptive in his dealings with Abner and had actually maybe had a hand in his death. And so David was very displeased with this. And he shows his great displeasure at the death of Abner. And he is very critical of Joab for having done this. And if he'd had the strength, he would have given Joab more punishment, Joab and his brother Abishai. But he was powerless to punish them. They were strong people in the kingdom, and they had minds of their own, and David just didn't have the political power to bring them under punishment. But at the death of Abner, we see that David is highly expressive of his displeasure. And so in verse 31, "And David said to Joab and all the people that were with him, Rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier." So he instructs Joab, even though Joab has been the murderer in this case, and he is very displeased with Joab, he instructs Joab to have the proper mourning for this, to rend his clothes and to gird you with sackcloth. He tells all the people to do the same thing, and David follows right after the casket of Abner. Verse 32, "And they buried Abner in Hebron." So Abner wasn't taken back to the city of his birth. He wasn't taken back to his own tribe of Benjamin, but buried in Hebron, which was the city of David at this point. "And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept." So we have great mourning here over this death of Abner and his burial. Verse 33, "And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool dieth." Now we have here a sort of a poem that David gives, maybe a psalm. He seems to be the principal, if not the only speaker at the death of Abner. And so he asks the question, "Died Abner as a fool dieth?" And there's two ways that we can look at this. First of all, was Abner a man so foolish as to be deceived by Joab, has to be gotten into a place of secret by Joab so that he could be slain? And that's a possible interpretation of this. But another interpretation of this is that Abner wasn't a fool. He didn't die as a fool. And he goes on and explains in verse 34, "Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters." So that actually Abner wasn't a person who had died as a result of having been tried and found guilty of any wrongdoing. He wasn't a prisoner of the state. He wasn't executed after a due proper trial, but he was actually murdered. So he says, "As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou." So it was a matter of Abner falling into the hands of wicked men. And of course, Joab was assisted by his brother Abishai in this. And that's the lamentation that David makes for Abner. You were unjustly treated. You were killed at the hands of wicked men. That's the way you fell. And after David made this speech, "And all the people wept again over him." So this renewed the mourning. We have a lot of emphasis placed here upon the fact that the people greatly mourned the death of Abner. And it was primarily because that the nation was in such a state at this time that they were in the process of using Abner to unite the kingdom. It looked like that everything was going to be real fine now, that the kingdom was going to be brought under the total control of David. And the very man who was the key here, who had switched over from Ishbosheth, Saul's son, the figurehead king, the enemy of David. Abner switched over from him. He turned against him, and now Abner had been put to death. And so all the people wept again over him. Verse 35, and when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David sware, saying, so do God to me and more also, if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down. So David wouldn't eat anything that day. He was in a period of fasting and mourning as a result of this death of Abner. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them. As whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. So they were satisfied that David was in an appropriate state of mourning. They recognized this, and they respected his right to do this, and it pleased the people. Verse 37, for all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner. Now, one of the primary things that this weeping and mourning and lamentation did on the part of David was to show the nation, to show all Israel, that the death of Abner wasn't his doing, that he was truly sorry for it, that he would not have done it at all upon his own, and that it wasn't an act of treachery on his part, that he hadn't betrayed Abner, that he hadn't gone against the treaty that he made with him. And so this was a very beneficial effect, because had they felt that David was so deceptive as to do this act, then they would not want to trust him to be the king. And the king said unto his servants, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? So David still recognizes the fact that here was a very great statesman. Abner had done wrong recently. He had turned against the will of God. He had been against David. But nevertheless, David is saying all the good that he can about him. And he had spent a lifetime in the service of Saul. He had been one of the chief men of the nation of Israel when the nation was united under the one king of Saul. And so David refers to that when he says that there's a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel. And then he further says in verse 39, and I am this day weak, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. So David expresses the fact that he does not have the power. He does not have the strength. He does not have the political stability to be able to adequately punish Joab and his brother Abishai for having slain Abner. And he expresses it in these words, I am weak, and these men be too hard for me, the sons of Zeruiah. Zeruiah was David's sister. And so Joab and his brother had a lot of political strength. They had a lot of power. They had a high position in the army. And David just was not able to do anything about it. So he says, the Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. The Lord's going to reward Joab for this, and his brother Abishai. So David appeals here to this basic law of God, that the Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. Whatever he's done, he'll be rewarded according to that. And eventually this does happen, but not real soon. Now we move on into chapter 4 of 2 Samuel. And when